If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out for the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life, there's a better life. You've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Man, let's keep singing tonight the Revelation song.
filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my enemy, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.
Praise the Lord. Before we shake hands tonight, now I might have missed somebody, but I can only remember so much. Friday was Sister Randy's birthday. Saturday was Sister Christy's birthday. Today, Remington, look at me. Is today your birthday? Are you three?
Yeah.
And today is Remington's third birthday. We already sung to Mr. Brandon. Was anybody else's birthday there in that week? Remember, Nancy puts out the cards, I sign them at this point, but I couldn't remember. Okay, and then, she's not in here, it doesn't really matter because she won't care anyway, but Maisley turns one on Tuesday, and so, but I can't even get into next week, that will take forever. So, happy birthday to the ones that are here tonight. I had a birthday, all right? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Are we Southwest Ohio enough that the next time when there's more than one person, we say happy birthday to y'all?
Yes.
I think we are. Okay. So next time, write that down. Next time. Use? Is it use? Okay. So isn't that Wisconsin? I like y'all better. Use sounds like upper. Yeah, okay. Either way, it's you guys. No, English teacher, okay, whatever. All right, next time we got to say you-ins or y'alls or yous or something, all right? All right, praise be to God. Let's get around and shake someone's hand.
Evening, good evening. Let us continue to praise our Lord and Savior by singing Great is Thy Faithfulness, page 43, all three verses.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, I have needed Thy hand have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Oh, I have needed Thy hand have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, the 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, I have the mercies I see. Oh, I have needed Thy hand have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord, to me.
And let's continue by singing No, Not One, verses 1, 3, and 5.
His love can cheer us. No.
commandments end by singing Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our call we doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a best if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way, and be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk in the way. What He says we will do, when He sends we will go. Now fear only, trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
May be seated.
It's kind of funny. At church camp, I was supposed to preach on Tuesday, and I did the same thing at church camp. it was like 500 people, and I was out in the hallway. I think it's his last song. I was like, oh, my bad. I just can't do it. All right, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah 8. In and out, we're working on some things. We don't know what's going on. We're trying new batteries. We're trying stuff, but it doesn't matter. I'll talk loud enough. If it goes out, you'll hear me. People online, if I go out, I'll grab a handheld. Just stay there with us, and we'll make it work. But we are looking in Isaiah chapter 8 because of the kids program and the things going on outside and the storm. I'm going to talk pretty fast, so you listen pretty quickly, all right? A couple of announcements, so I don't forget. This Saturday, men's prayer breakfast, 9 a.m. That will be a good time for all men, fifth grade and up. I encourage you to come, be a part of that. I'm excited about that. Brother Randy Bowles is the devotion, and so if you've not heard Pastor Randy speak, you'll be blessed by that and have him to be doing that, so I'm excited there. And then also I want to remind everybody that the Young at Hearts and the Marvel Youth Ministry coming up July 21st are combining for a game night here at the church from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. For a game night. You can see Brother Brandon, Brother Chuck about that. That'll be awesome. Young at Hearts is also going to be hosting Senior Sunday. Over, it'd be a great time, Sunday of July. And so Senior Sunday is going to be amazing. Invite all your friends 55 and over. It'd be a great time to invite some grandparents. Great-grandparents that don't normally attend Assurance Baptist Church, they're going to be leading praise and worship, and there's going to be a seniors choir that day. And so if you're interested in being the senior choir, 55 and over, if you're in regular choir, then you're in the senior choir, okay? We just already adopted you in. but we are going to get that song together and our songs, whatever we're going to do there. So we're going to have that. We're having our senior saints, or our young at hearts, I should say, that Thursday before, actually, so that we give ourselves an opportunity to practice a little bit more. So that'd be good, right, Brother Chuck? Isn't that the way we're doing that? And then Splash Camp is coming up for kids entering fourth grade, so graduates of third grade, through graduates of fifth grade, Splash Camp, the same campgrounds, Camp Chautauqua, as where our kids just came from youth camp, but a different camp for the junior campers. That camp is a little cheaper, one less day, but you can use the code ABC $50 for a $50 discount, which would make the camp cost to you $170. And so just like youth camp, if you'd like to give to that youth scholar or to that children's scholarship through your regular tither, you can write that on there that this is for camp. I want to just thank you again and commend you. I was telling the folks at the New Family Fellowship and how good God is, and I was telling some folks, you know, our church for camp, we pay $95 for everybody to try to make sure that everybody can go to camp and make it affordable at $200. Some people, you know, we pay for totally. But by the end of camp, Miss Nancy sees this, by the end of camp, we've spent about $8,000 to send our kids to camp. I wrote a check for $5,775. I sent it back to Nancy on Monday, and she was like, you know, having a heart attack. But when you see seven souls saved, and then today, Brother Jake Erickson on fire from camp, he and Gavin invite a friend, Levi, 17-year-old. He kind of got up during invitation. He looked at me, and he kind of got up during invitation, look around like, what do I do? He sees Jake and Grayson praying. So he comes over, and I talk to him, and he got saved this morning. Amen. You see Annie get baptized. She's out there working with the kids tonight, her parents here. We'll pay as much money as we need to. I'll always invest in that. And our children to see Jake and Emma. Emma, on Friday when we got back, I said, Emma, you gonna sing Sunday? And Emma had no voice. She said, I'll try. And to see them up there, I mean, they sang that in front of, I don't know, there was lots of people watching that night, maybe 100 folks. And to just see that, that spirit, we'll do it again. And so we'll do the same for Splash Camp. Splash Camp, I'll just be honest with you, it isn't quite as spiritual as youth camp. Jeremy and Christy, I think Miss Bethany, you're going, and AJ and Haley's been before, and it's very spiritual, and the older kids do well, but there's also a lot more, you know, parenting going on at Splash Camp. What is it? Nonsense? Yeah, a lot more nonsense going on, but it'll be a fun camp, and our friends from Hillsboro Bible Baptist Church direct that, Brother Burns and Brother, actually Kent York's son, Dan, works there and helps with that. And so they do a good job. But Splash Camp coming up soon. Get your kids signed up. Sign and register through the paper out front. We want them all to go. There would be the first. If you are struggling with finances, same thing with the youth. No kid will be left behind. All right. And there would be the first Splash Campers ever to take the bus. And their children's pastor drives it. He's driving the bus literally, right? And so we're going to have a good time at Splash Camp too. I want to encourage you, but that's awesome. Grow. There was no grow last week because of camp, just everybody there. But this week we're meeting at Inglewood Elementary again this Thursday at 6:30. It'll be the last grow until August. We'll take the month of July off. It just gets super hot, super rainy, and we've had a lot going on, haven't we? We've been busy, busy, busy. So to give your legs some rest, because in August we'll come back together, and we got to start canvassing and getting all the information out for our fifth anniversary in September. And so we're excited about that, but we'll just get some rest in July. So one more week of grow, so show up this week. Let's get out some information as much as we possibly can. I know a couple weeks ago when I was at camp, you guys did that and did a great job. So we'll pick up and try to finish out that neighborhood around Inglewood Elementary, and God is going to bless us for our efforts. He already has been, hasn't he? All right. Well, with those things being said, let's pick up our Bibles and look in Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Hey, Wednesday, you'll want to be here in the noon service and the evening service because I've been gone, but we're going to finish that series on becoming a contagious Christian. And so I've got one more to see how we can have the maximum impact in our community. And so you'll want to be here Wednesday for that as we complete that series. And then next Sunday, like I told you before, a church on fire. It's not what you think it is. And so just make sure you're here for that series. It's new. Never preached it. Making new messages. And God put them on my heart these last 2 weeks at camp, kind of get away and get out in the wilderness on my own. And I said this, and I'll say it to you guys, and you'll hear me say it. I said it to our folks this morning, and I'm in a rare mood. Some of our old leaders, trustees, and deacons have seen it before, but I'm in a rare mood, and I don't want you to think that I'm coming off as mean, but you ever seen Remember the Titans? I'm in Coach Boone mode right now. I demand perfection. And this church, in order for us to take the next step, when we were trying to get to 100, the trustees heard me say it 4 billion times, you're not ready yet to get to 100. You can't handle it. Well, now this church is constantly knocking on the door. There are over 160-some people here this morning, constantly knocking on the door of we should be running 200 all the time. And we're not ready yet, but we need to get ready. Amen. And when your preacher gets in that kind of mood, just know that sometimes you can't say amen, but you might say ouch. You know what I mean? But it's coming, because I won't let go, because it means that much to me. I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, I told Brother Jaden this at camp this week, you don't understand me. My wife doesn't understand me, but she can tell you I'm like this everywhere. I'm just kind of bossy, aren't I, Chandra? I'm a type A as type A gets. See, you say amen. You heard a big amen. But I want you to know it's for the right reasons. Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to be the leader. Buck stops somewhere, and this is what you got to know about me. And what I was telling Brother Jaden is, you don't understand who I am. I would literally die for Remington just as much as I would die for Xavier. I would literally fight tooth and nail for Dawson just as much as I would for Jaleese or any of you adults. And nobody going to hurt my church family, including the devil. And if that means that I have to be over the top to be sober, to be vigilant, if that means I have to be really stringent and really on task, that's exactly what I'll do. If I have to tell my kids, lock the doors, make sure your car's locked, make sure, and I have to be over the top to make sure they're safe, that's what I do. It's ingrained in me. I worked at the jail from the time I was 19 years old till I was 31 years old. It's ingrained in me to protect people and to make sure things are right. And I would tell my shift, I would take care of them the same way. No matter what happens tonight, we're going home. And I'll tell Satan right now, no matter what happens, we're going to be all right. This church is going to be all right. These people are going to be all right. And he might win some battles, but Jesus has already won the war, and we're going to take more flesh than we give up. Amen? So I want you to know where we're headed. And just so you, like, Pastor seems like he's on a mission. I am. Lead, follow, or get out of my way. But I'm going. I'm going. And I told him this morning, some people ain't going to be able to handle it, and if they leave, see ya. Sometimes God prunes the church. If they can't take it, they can't take it. But we're going somewhere, and I hope you want to go there. Because once we get there, once we got there, then I kind of calmed down a little bit again, right? And then it got smooth again. I said, okay, now we can, I go back to loving you and smiling at you and stuff. But while we're in that place, you know, the great players of sports, Tom Brady's not the nicest guy to his teammates on the sideline. You ever seen Tom Brady yelling at the offensive line? Y'all better block. Michael Jordan, he was, now I'm not going to punch you in the face, but he was punching people in the face at practice and stuff like that because he wants it a certain way. That's where we're at. Isaiah chapter 8, he gives confirmation of a sudden destruction of Syria and Israel, and we see that the Assyrians are the ones that are going to do it. So we're looking at Isaiah chapter 8. We're at the beginning of the chapter here. I want to explain this before we get into it. How many of you, biblically, know what the difference between Assyria and Syria are? What's that? Say it out loud, Mamma. It's okay. We will only make fun of you for today. Cereal? What you talking about? What's the difference between Assyria and Syria? We had a Bible quiz at the church camp, and that was like one of the things that a lot of people got wrong. That wasn't necessarily a question, but one of the multiple choice was Assyria and Syria, and a lot of people were, you know, Syria. What's the difference? Anybody know? Because if, like, I think you're listening to me, but you won't understand this if you don't know the difference.
Assyria was one of the strong kings, sort of like Nebuchadnezzar, and it was like an empire. Assyria was a country that was right next to Israel.
Okay, good. So there are two different groups. So Assyria is the group of people, so Babylon was in that. In Assyria, they're near the Tigris and the Euphrates. That's where Haran is. And so that's where Abraham came out of, was the Assyrian Empire. That is where Nineveh was at. And so Assyria is a huge empire over by the Tigris and the Euphrates. But there are two different people groups. Now, they did come from the same brothers, the sons of Shem, Ashur, and Aram. And so they're from the same people group, hence the names, but they're not the same places. Syria is over by the Mediterranean, and it encompasses Damascus and Tyre and Sidon. And so it's two different places and two different peoples. And so when you hear me say the Assyrian Empire is going to go and take over Syria, it doesn't make sense if you don't know those two people groups. So I want to be very clear. They're not the same. Don't try to make them the same. Assyria and Syria are different. And see, I told you, Brother Philip's a Bible reader. That's why he's a deacon. He understood. He knew. And it makes sense only if you know those two people groups as we read through this. So we see here there's further warning given to Israel and Judah. We pick up in the first verse here. Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write it with a man's pen concerning Mahir-shal Hashabaz. This is another one of Isaiah's sons. So we saw his first son being born in the chapter before. Here's another son. And he has this prophetical name, and it means one who is swift in the booty, or speedy is prey, or hasten ye to the spoil, like a pirate's booty. Someone who's going to be quickly going after some treasure. And it's prophetical because the Assyrians would be quickly taking haste to spoil, to take the spoil of Damascus and Syria. Verse 2, and I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jerubbaal. It's not the same Zechariah as the prophet that the book is written after. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahir-shal Hashabaz, for before the child shall I have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this evening you've given us to study your word. Lord, we pray that we would learn from it, that we would grow from it. And as we see the history and the things that have come to pass and the things that shortly will come to pass, that we would understand that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it reigns, and not one jot or tittle should be taken away from it until heaven and earth shall pass away. Lord, we're so thankful today for your word and for what you've done here today and for what you're doing. We ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah's next son here, this prophetical name, is speaking of the impending doom of the northern kingdom as well as Syria. Remember the northern kingdom being Israel and that, or Ephraim, and that their capital there being Samaria. It's in that region of where Syria was reigning at the time. And so even if you look at a map today where Syria is at, it's just at the top. The Bible talks about when there's trouble in Damascus, even today, it's the oldest inhabited city in the world. When you see this trouble in Damascus, start to look up because something bad's about to happen or something prophetical is about to happen. And so when that chemical warfare took place there several years ago in Syria, if you were a Bible reader, you were paying attention because you were understanding that when something in Damascus takes place, biblically speaking, prophetically speaking, that things are going on because it's so close to northern Israel. Isaiah's son named this, both of his sons named in prophetic reasons. And it speaks here that two kingdoms will be split up there in verses 1 through 4. And the two kingdoms are the kingdoms that Ahaz was worried about. Ahaz, being the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, was worried about the northern kingdom and Syria coming in confederacy against him. And the prophecy would be fulfilled really quickly, the Bible says. I like this. It says, for before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother. It says, before the child can say, dada and mama, this is going to happen. So we're talking within a year, a period of time, basically, that this would take place. We see the prophecy would be fulfilled, actually, coming to pass here in the days of Hezekiah. Look at verses 5 through 8. I'm not going to read all of them, but look at verse 6, actually. For as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloh, that go softly and rejoice, that's the pool of Siloam, rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's sons. These are the sons of the northern kingdom and the sons of Syria. He says, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, in all his glory, and he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. The Bible says here, and he shall overflow and go over and shall reach them, reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land. O Emmanuel. Understand, Emmanuel here is not the same as speaking of Jesus. It is because it's the presence of God, but it's speaking of the holies of holies, the temple and being in the presence, that was the literal presence of God. That's speaking of the Shekinah glory. Okay, so it's not saying that Emmanuel, it's not a Christophany that the physical Jesus would be there. This is speaking of Shekinah, presence of God in the Holy of Holies in the temple. But it's neat here because it talks about Israel or Assyria coming like a flood. We talked about how God uses Mother Nature this morning, and he uses this imagery that it would come like a flood. It would come down and reach. It wouldn't take over Judah and Jerusalem, but it would get there, and literally the wording for the Hebrew would be this, that Judah will be in deep water. You ever said that to somebody? You're in deep now. You're in too deep. What you're saying is you're in deep water. You're literally, the Bible says, they're up to their neck. All they can do is put their head above water. They're just barely surviving. He says, that's how far, as a warning, we're sending the waters down. It's going to destroy. They're going to destroy the northern kingdom and deport them. But even Judah is going, you're in deep now. You're not going to kill them, I hope. You're just going to tell them, you've done too much now. You're in deep now, right? When someone is in too deep as a detective, undercover, they get in too deep. They're not dead, but they're saying, you're tracking that way. You're in a lot of trouble right now. You've gotten in too deep. So this would go on and is accomplished, like I said, in the days of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, during Hezekiah's reign, and Judah called Emmanuel and this Holy of Holies. But what stems from that, the audience switches now from Judah to its enemies. Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces and give ear, all of you of far countries. That speaks of Assyria. Gird yourselves. So the first verse is saying you're going to be broken. That's Syria in the northern kingdom. The far country is speaking of Assyria as it's further away. We just talked about it. It's in modern-day Iraq and Iran and over that area of the world. He says, you're going to be taken and shall be broken in pieces. Verse 10, take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Israel, the northern kingdom, and Syria will be broken. The far countries, it says, Assyria is going to be used of God to chasten Syria and the northern kingdom. But they're not getting away. Their day is going to come too. We know that ultimately their day comes as well, and that they're not in charge anymore either, as the Babylonians would come. But God kind of has a sarcastic verse here. I have a sarcastic personality at times, so I like this. He says there in verse 10, take counsel together. He says, Assyria, Syria, northern kingdom, get all together and go make plans for war, essentially. He says, and they shall come to naught. He says, you can go make all the plans you want. It isn't going to amount to anything because I'm God. Can I just say this to you for the glory? Satan can make all the plans he wants. He can get in confederation with the president and the great potentates. He can get in confederation with the pride followers. He can get in confederation with the baby killers. He can do all he wants, but God still wins. So God said, go ahead, make all your plans, Satan. Go ahead. You can be the prince of power of the air. You can have some important power in the earth right now, but your power is nothing in my sight. Go ahead. He said, go ahead and take counsel together. I like that. It makes me think of like kids, you know. Sometimes your kids, when they have siblings, they can take counsel together. They're making a plan, you know, behind your back. Well, with mom and dad, and it's like, you can make all the plans you want, but this is my house. That's my food. You want to nibble on them green beans tonight, I bet you're going to get right. You know what I mean? They're taking counsel together. They're conspiring. Me and my sister, we were dumb little kids. Dumb. And we would conspire together sometimes and say, when mom gets home, we're going to tell mom how it is. We conspire together. Mom get home, and, you know, that it worked out well. We're like, Mom! We don't like how you made us eat that for dinner last night. My mom said, you know what you're going to have for dinner tonight? What's that? She said, air dip and wind pudding. So, okay. I said, well, I, if you've seen me lately, you know I don't like air dip and wind pudding. I want something for real, right? So we'd be good, Mom. You ever said that? We'd be good, Mom. We promise we'd be good. Got right real quick. Look at verse 11 and 12. For the Lord spake thus to me. Now Isaiah switches back. God's prophesying to him. The Lord's talking to him. With a strong hand instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. Oh, I like that. Listen to me. If you are wanting to be anything for God, God's saying you can't walk in the way of the world. Isaiah, he says, have nothing to do with them. And when you do that, look what happens in verse 12. He says, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Do you know when you're walking with God, you don't have to be afraid of anything? Pastor Carter, the director of our camp that just retired, he always says this, don't be clean, be cleaner. Don't be clean, be cleaner. Moral people can be clean that don't know Jesus. We as Christians have a higher expectation. We need to be cleaner. We need to have an expectation in our life that we're doing all the right things. We, you know, I wouldn't go this far perhaps, but one of our speakers this week, I got the opportunity to take him to the airport and pick him back up, and he said this, he told this story to me, and Jaleesa and I were with him and his son, his adult son, goes to West Coast Bible College, and it's different than my training, but this is Texas, so I guess, you know, in Texas things are different. He said when he took over that church, it had about 75 people, his wife's uncle retired, was getting older. He was a traveling evangelist for 15 years. He took that church, and he said there was a guy there taking offering every week, and he had on a jacket that said the church's name on it, and he'd be taking offering, and the guy was complaining about everything all the time. And so finally the pastor said, I went into the office. I said, okay, you have all these complaints. He said, he told the secretary, whoever, pull up his tithing record, and if you don't have a tithing record, then you're out. You're out of here. You don't take up the offering, and I want your jacket. And he said he went in there, and zero, zero, zero. The guy wasn't tithing. If you don't tithe, you're a liar and you're a thief, the Bible says very clearly. And so he says when he found out he had zero, 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 he said, take the jacket off, and he's not allowed to take offering anymore because he's not right. He said the guy started to take his jacket off, and he said, and I stripped that jacket right off of him. Now listen, that's 17 years ago, so maybe in 2006 you could still get away with that kind of stuff. I feel like I'd probably go to jail if that happened. But the point of the story is, when he said that, I thought to myself, he was saying, you can't take the offering if you're not giving offering. If you're not right, if you're not clean, so he's saying, Isaiah, don't mess around with the word, because I'm giving you the very word of God, and you can't preach it if you can't live it. My wife and I had the opportunity to get away Friday, and we were talking about that a little bit, just between the two of us, and saying, you know, talking to ourselves, you're perfect, so to speak. It's important for us to get refreshed and to be right, but we don't have to be perfect, so to speak. We're not perfect, we're sinners, but the Bible talks about the pastor being blameless and his children being in subjection with all gravity, but we certainly have to be a great example. We certainly have to have no holes in our thing. We can't have skeletons in our closet. We certainly can't be doing things backwards. And if the leader won't do it, if the leader won't speak it, if the leader won't live godly, how can you expect anybody else? Isaiah, if you won't do it, you stay away from the world, because if you don't stay away from the world, everybody you're talking to is not going to stay away from the world. It's just so simple. We're talking to the New Family Fellowship, and somebody brought up a question about alcohol, and I said, you know, sometimes I'm walking through Kroger, and the quickest way to something is through the alcohol aisle. And then I remember where I'm at, and I'm like, oh, you know what, I want to jump over here by the bread, because I don't even want anybody to assume that I'm buying booze. I want to flee from all appearance of evil. I want to abstain from it. I don't want anybody to even think that I could be over there by it. You know what I don't do? I don't go to the vape shop. I don't go to the tobacco store, because I don't want anybody to even think that I'm chewing or dipping, which is a nasty habit, by the way. If you chew or dip, you're a nasty creature. Get rid of it. Them boys used to dip and chew at the jail and spit in that bucket. And boy, I tell you what, before I was a saved man, I used to have a lot of nasty things to say to them boys. Because when you put your hand down in a trash can that has spit in it, boy, I'll just tell y'all right now, we're on live stream. I really don't care. It's past the statute of limitations. I smacked a few people in my life over that. I put my hand in some wintergreen. Now listen, it says the pastor can't be a brawler or a striker. I wasn't even saved yet. That doesn't count. That was before. I'm being judged for everything I did after salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. What I did before, Jesus paid for on the cross. It's all gone. It's all forgiven. He don't remember. And I'm just being honest with you. That's a nasty thing. I don't like that. Plus, it tear up your gums and everything else. But anyway, let's not get into the health of it tonight. I just want you to know, if you want to be somebody for the Lord, you got to be right. You got to be clean. I check in the tithe records of our deacons and our assistant pastors. I don't check anybody else. I'm not like that pastor. And the pastor in Texas said he knows what everybody gives. Man, it hurt my feelings probably. Sometimes I'd have to look at somebody's face while I'm preaching, and it'd probably make me mad. So I just have to stay out of that. But I do know if the leaders do or not. I need to know that because, you know, it's hard for me to keep on going and working and being beside you if you won't be honest with God. Lack of tithing is just lying to God. It just is what it is. Get back to, because I think it's so important. Sometimes we read the minor prophets and the major prophets and we read these things and we see all these great prophets, but we miss the small details. You know, nobody ever quotes Isaiah 8 and 11. Nobody ever quotes that. When's the last time you heard somebody quote that or seen that on a t-shirt? Everybody knows Isaiah 7:14, and everybody's like, oh, you know, Isaiah 9, and everybody's all about that Isaiah 50, you know, Isaiah 54. Like, everybody knows all that stuff, but nobody, when's the last time you heard somebody say, and the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand. The Lord meant this. And if I was talking about in the BTV version of the Bible, he said, he put me, don't you walk like the rest of the world. It's a pretty strong verse, isn't it? Pretty good. If you are a bold proclaimer, if you are a prophet, a preacher of the word of God, you better be right. Don't you be telling nobody else about Jesus if you're messed up. I can't stand when I see people on Facebook talking about, oh, in the name of Jesus, and they ain't at church. That's just a halfway faith. Get mad at me all you want. I declare the name of Jesus. You put that on there on Thursday, and you ain't been at church in 2 weeks. Makes me sick. Just being honest with you, because why would anybody else want to be that? I want to be that kind of Christian. Why you want to be a halfway Christian? I'm about to get into my message for next Sunday. I need to slow down. I need to bring it back. I need to bring it back. We'll be here all night. I get into that. But let's bring it back. Let's reel it on in. Notice I reeled it this way, Brother Anthony. Notice that how I did that. Look at verse 13. Judah returned to God. He says, if you'll repent, God will be your sanctuary. Look at verse 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary. You know what a sanctuary is? It's where you're sitting, but what is it? A safe place. That's why you call this a sanctuary. Some people call it an auditorium or worship center, but it's a sanctuary. This is our safe place. You know why it's our safe place? Keep reading the verse. He says, be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, that's a trap, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You know why this is a sanctuary? Because everything outside of this is a trap. This is supposed to be the safe place for the Christian. Planet Fitness has signs that says no judgment zone. Now, I used to be a member of Planet Fitness, but I didn't get much done because they got donut day and pizza day. And I found myself showing up on those days. You know what I mean? The days where there was no food, I found myself not working out. And I just happened to stroll in on pizza day and donut day. Praise be to God. And then the sign says, no judgment-free zone. Thank you very much. Don't you judge me when I'm eating this donut over here while you're over there lifting 300 pounds. But I say that to say this. Inside of this church, we know Christians judge. Quit acting like you never judged anybody. But in this sanctuary, while the word of God is being spoken, while there's prayers to God being spoken, while there's songs of God, you got to understand you're a sinner, that you're messed up, and it's a judgment-free zone because you're just like everybody else. And this is a safe place because we're all the same. You've heard me say it from the pulpit. I'm no better. I'm a sinner saved by grace. So I'm not preaching down at you. I'm preaching to you. God's preaching through me to you. And so sometimes I'm saying the word of God, and it may sound like I'm acting like I'm perfect. No, I'm just preaching about the one who is perfect. You make sure that this is supposed to be a safe place. Christian, listen to me. You make sure that this is a safe place. At Assurance Baptist Church, the sanctuary begins at the front entrance. You make sure it's a safe place for people to come into. That it's a safe place. Nobody ever gets saved in a place where they don't think it's safe. Nobody ever looks to be found when they're lost to go to a more dangerous place. If they're lost, they want to be found. Even AAA will call and say, are you safe where you are? Well, what are you going to do if I'm not? That's what I want to ask them, you know what I mean? If I'm not safe, what you going to do? Because I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and you can't get to me for 90 minutes. Yeah. Who are you going to send? Ghostbusters? I don't know, but nobody ever gets saved unless they're in a safe place. Listen, that boy today, he couldn't have got saved unless he thought he was safe in here. Amen. That's right. Those kids at camp, you know why they get saved at camp? Because it's a safe place. Because there's 500 other people in their age group where everybody is geared towards them. They're only focused on them. The songs are geared to them. The counselors are geared to them. So they come into this safe sanctuary, a big old gym at Camp Chautauqua, and over 130 some kids were saved in the last 2 weeks because they were in a safe place, a saving place. Our church must be that place. Not just in here, we call it the sanctuary, but the grounds and where we're at. And you as the church, when you come out of the building, you need to be a safe place for sinners to get saved. Verses 16 and 17. See, verse 15, what happened is Israel and Judah are going to be among those who are broken and stumble. Israel, the northern kingdom, is completely taken away. It doesn't exist. And Judah, is where Jerusalem is going to have some issues. And allegorically, he says this. He says that you're going to be blind. There's going to be a snare and a trap. And that continues today. The blindness of Israel to the gospel continues even today. But in verse 16 and 17, it says, bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him. The blindness in the land to the written word of God we see there, this testimony. He says, hey, look, only the true, he says, the seal the law among my disciples. This still works today. Only the true disciples get it, and everyone else is blind. There's some people that go to church that don't get it. There's some people that go to church that aren't saved. It's the curse of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. I'll turn there. You don't have to, but remember what we read here. Verses 9 and 10 of Isaiah 6, he said, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Remember we talked about that? He says, I'm going to make it so, I'm going to curse them, so that even when they want to get it, they'll no longer be able to get it, because they've been away from me so long. And you have to understand this. The Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to get it, but they wanted to get it their way. They wanted to get it how they want to get it. And there's some church folks today, and there's some church denominations of people, they want to get it, but they want to get it how they want to get it. They don't want to get it through the testimony of the Word of God. They want to get it what feels good or what they like. They want to change it to what they want. But there's always a faithful remnant. That's why I tell you that. More than I am a Baptist, I'm a Bible believer. A true Bible-believing Christian who believes that the Bible outranks every other thing, every other person, every other denominational preference or convention or conference, pastor, pope, every true Bible believer that really lives it. And they're not just hearers of the word, but doers also. These are the Jeremiahs, the Daniels, the Ezras, the Nehemiahs, the Simons, the Annas, the Marys, the Josephs, the Elizabeths, the Zacharias. These are the people who truly get it. And Jesus says, if you are my disciple indeed, he says, then will you continue in my word. These are the only people that are truly the disciples of God. And Isaiah says, I'm going to stand there. I'm going to rise up and be godly even while I wait on the Lord's deliverance in a sinful place. Look what he says in verse 17. He says, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. He says, even though God's not looking at Israel right now because they're messed up, even though he's taken his providence away from Israel, he says, I will look for him. I'm going to be right. Even in this perverse and dirty generation and nation that we live in, you stay right and looking for the appearance of the Lord. Don't you be caught naked without your spiritual garments. Amen. Have yourself ready, prepared. Verses 18 through 20. I got a little time. Look, if you want to know my opinion on Halloween, I hate it. I don't celebrate it. I don't like it. My kids don't trick-or-treat. You say, Pastor, you sound like a mean old person. I just know the Bible. I just know the Bible. Look at verse 18. I told you, we're going to a new place. Pastor, he's over it. You don't like what I got to say? Take yourself down the street and you'll find out that that church ain't as good as this one. Just telling you, I'm just telling you right now. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. You're going to like it or you're going to hate it, but hate it or love it, we're going to do what we do, baby. Listen, verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, for the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have a familiar spirit. This is a cult. This is witchcraft. And unto wizards that peep and that mutter, Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them. The occult practices had become so prevalent in Israel and Judah both. These people were seeking through disgusting ones the dead rather than seeking the living God. How disgusting is that, honestly? Think about that. They're playing with so-called semi-Ouija boards, and they're looking at the dead things. You know, Halloween is about the dead and the goth and all these things of the devil, and people are so into that, and they're so, even Christians are so excited about that, and I'm telling you, it's wicked. I'm telling you, it's wrong. And why, when you say, well, we're just having fun, and it ain't cute to dress your little kids up as goblins and occult things. That ain't cute. That ain't godly. Listen to me. The Bible says these people, because what happened is they got swept away with these practices, with the occult and with the dead things. And so they stopped having faith in God, and they started having faith in magic and magicians and wizards and lottery tickets and gambling and booze and all these. It all runs together. Yeah, it does. It all runs together. It's a cult. It's depraved. One of the biggest things that's happened in the last 10 years that people watch, some of y'all watch it, The Walking Dead. Well, I want to be around some people that's walking that's dead. God, Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. I'm the God of the living. Why am I messing with some dead stuff when I got some living stuff right in front of me? Half of y'all look dead when I'm preaching, but every once in a while when I clap my hands, you wake up and I remember that you're still alive. Why would I mess with some dead stuff for? I don't like nothing dead. You know how sick it is? People will pray. They were praying to these things, and then they're trying to levitate the dead. And when they levitated, when the seer saw, when the witch came up of Endor, and they brought up Samuel's spirit, he said, why are you messing with me? You didn't like me while I was alive. Why are you messing with me now that I'm dead? Leave me alone, Saul. Why are we messing with people? People love ghost movies and ghost stories, and they love it. And I'm not saying it's all bad in certain ways and certain things. People say, well, Pastor, can we read those little kid books, those R.L. Stine books? Is Goosebumps okay? You know what? I don't know. Never watched it. Don't care. You can watch Goosebumps. But I know this much. Y'all get mad at me. All you want, Harry Potter's a witch. He sold more books in the last decade than the Bible, and that's sick. You get mad at me all you want. I don't care about Harry Potter. You can watch all the Harry Potter movies you want, but that's still sick. If you know Harry Potter better than you know your Bible, you need to get yourself right. This ain't in the message. I need to go on. If you know more about the occult practices and the fake universes, if you know more about the Spider-Verse than you do about God's universe, you need to get right. Come on. Oh, yeah. We, Brother Carter, we're going to be independent Baptists today. Y'all going to learn today. I told you, I'm on one now. You know, Fuel Camp has sparked something in me that we can't, it's not going back. It's just, it's been ignited. You know what I mean? It's like a rocket ship, and I can't stop it. It's where we are. He says, you're messing with dead stuff. He says, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Question mark. Are you so depraved, so dumb, so desperate that you would try to call things and people from the grave, ghosts and goblins, when you have a living God who's protected you, who's been with you, he brought you over the Red Sea, who's fed you, who's got you a kingdom, who's protected you from the, don't worry about Syria and Assyria, don't worry about the northern kingdom. Haven't I protected you even though you're just two little tribes down here in a small area? You don't have any warriors left. But haven't I supernaturally taken care of you, and you're still calling upon dead people? But you know what I love about that? Later on in the Word of God, they say, Jesus died. And Jesus said, you know what? But I'm not of the occult world. I'm not of the world of, you don't have to have a seance to call my spirit up. Because I rose up bodily. I came up out of the grave, took the grave clothes off. I walked up out of there and said, you know what? I think I'm hungry. Children, have you any meat? And I can eat, and I can talk, and I can move, and I can touch, and people can touch me because I'm alive. Because I'm the God of the living. We ain't got to mess with no dead stuff. Remember an old movie or show or something like that? Somebody had lost their dog and they had it stuffed and they would be walking the dog around. It was dead. It was a stuffed dog. Well, listen, I don't need a stuffed dog. I got a real dog. I don't need a stuffed God. I got a real God. Verse 21 through 22, and I'm finished. Spiritual darkness brings dark days. The warning is given here in verse 21. And they shall pass through it hardly, but sad and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. You know why some Christians can't get back? Because a warning was given. They can't get back to where they used to be because there's been so much spiritual darkness and they've dwelled in that spiritual darkness. They've stayed in it and they wouldn't look to God. And then finally they look to the, see here it says they look to the earth. They look to the earth to try to give them light and then there was trouble, but it was all darkness. Christians get so far gone, then they try to look to God and God don't hear them. Then they start looking to worldly means to try to fix it, and even the world won't hear. So they get so desperate that they just get out and they get alone. But listen and hear this. They would look to God as a last resort and find no help. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 23. You don't have to turn back to Isaiah. Deuteronomy 28, 23. I want you to see this. See what God said. God never does anything without warning you first. 28, 23. Good about God? God warns them. He's been warning them for a long time. Deuteronomy 28, 23. He's been warning them for a long time. If you don't get right, I'm going to do this. God's long-suffering. God's grace. He's been warning the world for over 2,000 years that if you don't accept my son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And today, if God should rapture home the church, there's thousands of people, millions of people that are going to go to hell, and they deserve it because God has given them all the warning they need. He gave them plenty of warning. This is way back in the book of Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. These people knew this inside and outside, but they refused. They rebelled. In 28 and 23, the Bible says, "And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron." You know what brass and iron represent? It will be too hard. You won't be able to get to heaven with your prayers. And the earth will be too hard. Nothing you do on earth, it'll be like iron. You won't be able to, the earth ain't going to help you. The things of the world aren't going to help you. You've gone too far. There's spiritual darkness. A warning was given. The last resort, but they find no help. They look to the earth, but there's only dark days ahead. And I want you to understand that that has continued today with Israel. And until Israel repents and turns to the Lord, there's darkness. And God is not hearing the prayers of the Hasidic Jews today. God is not hearing the prayers of those who are Jewish by religion today. He's not listening to them. Oh, God hears it because he's God and he's sovereign. He hears everything, but he's not listening to them, if you understand what I'm saying. And they are blind to it and they won't see it. Isaiah prophesied this 700 years before Christ, which means 2,700 years ago. Isaiah said that, and we're still living in a day in Israel where Israel is blind to it and they're praying and there's a brass there that he said would happen in Deuteronomy 28, and the world is iron. Think about this. Think about who are the most hated people in the history of mankind on this earth, even to this day. It is the Israelite Jewish people. But guess what? God warned them that's what would happen. God warned them. You say, Pastor, you can't say that. You can't say, I didn't say. Listen, people say, terrible thing. But do you realize it's a biblical thing? It's part of the wrath and punishment of God because his people would not accept him because his people would not live right. The Holocaust is just in our time frame, but understand this. Per capita, the Holocaust is not the worst thing that ever happened to the Jews. Go back and read your Bible and see what happened when Babylon came in and finally destroyed Jerusalem. The northern kingdom was already destroyed, but go and see what happened. There was nobody fighting for them because God said, I'm done fighting for y'all. I'm not messing with you. United States and Great Britain and Russia eventually all fought Hitler. God said, I turn my hands over to you. Brass, you can't break the brass ceiling. The world is iron to you. My mom used to say this to me. Hard head makes for a soft butt. You ever heard that? Country people got some sayings, don't they? Boy, I'll tell you what, them country bumpkins, they be saying some stuff sometimes like that. But I thought about it. I'm like, when I was a kid, I'm like, what does that mean, mother? Like, and as I got older, I realized, you don't listen to my warning, I'm going to wear that thing out. You're going, I'm going to take that belt, and I'm going to teach you. You're going to bend to my will. God said this. He says, you're hard head. You can't even get to me. And God said, I'm going to use the world to tan your hide. 2,700 years later, he's still tanning the hide of Israel because of the rejection of his son, Jesus Christ. It's interesting. Isaiah, written so long ago, but still prevalent and important, and also good for application for our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, to meet with us as you've met with us today, but Lord, continually keep a fire stoked in us, Lord, that it never die out. We move quickly tonight, and very simply. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Bryson, I don't know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, I need to know him. And I would offer you tonight just a simple understanding that if you need Jesus and you know that you're not saved, that you would die today and not go to heaven, I'm just going to ask you simply, quietly in this room tonight, Miss Jennifer's going to begin to play, and you just get up out of your seat and come to me. No singing tonight. You just get up out of your seat and come right up here, and we'll talk about it, me and you tonight. Lord, we're asking you tonight, as we go forward at this church on fire, maybe we'd go ahead and start praying now. As the music begins to play, Christian, are you right? Do you need to get right? Don't you be the one that messes it up. We want to be a church on fire. Maybe you'd go ahead and say right now, right here, I'm going to come pray that we're a church on fire and that nothing gets in the way. We're going to pray away Satan's attacks. We'll just leave some time here at the altar. No singing. You come tonight, talk to the Lord.